Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The scene are the mountains, the hills, the highlands of Austria. And the setting is the 1930s, just in the days before the Nazi-controlled Germany annexed Austria into its powers. And during this scene, a young woman, a nun named Maria, is seen prancing about. She has her arms open wide and she begins to sing, "The hills are alive with the sound of music. With songs they have sung for a thousand years." You know that scene, right? The sound of music. Even if you've never seen the movie, you probably have that scene in your mind. Now, fast forward through the movie. What happens is Maria leaves the convent and she marries a captain, Captain Von Trapp, and becomes stepmother to his kids. The Nazis do take over Austria, and they want Captain Von Trapp to serve in their military, but he's loyal to his country, and so he is going to flee from Austria with his family. And as they are preparing to flee, they realize that the way out of Austria is going to be through the highlands, through the hills, through the mountains, to get to Switzerland, where they can get to safety. And right as they're about to embark through this mountainous region, they find themselves hiding from the Nazis at a convent. And the Reverend Mother, the leader of the convent, goes to them and she gives them a blessing. And she says to them words that we hear from Psalm 121. She says, "I lift up mine eyes into the hills, from whence cometh my help." And then the Von Trapp family moves into the mountains and is seen last wandering on their way to Switzerland. Now let me set another scene for you. A poet, a hymn writer, a songwriter. We would call him a psalmist, a psalm writer, is leaving from the Holy Temple in Jerusalem. He has just finished giving worship, probably making sacrifice to the one true God, the maker of heaven and earth. And so he's leaving Jerusalem. And as he leaves and wanders through the Israelite countryside, he looks around and he sees hills and he sees mountains. And on some of these hills, he sees temples. He sees shrines. He sees altars. This one made to this pagan god, maybe of agriculture. That one there made and dedicated to the god of rain. And this one maybe to the god of fertility or war. And he looks amongst these hills and these mountains. And unlike the Reverend Mother, he doesn't make a statement. He asks a question. "I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where is my help to come? From where is my help to come?" Throughout Scripture, we are given pictures of what is called a high place. And it is exactly this. It's an elevated place where the people around have decided this is a good place to make an altar, to worship a god. But far too often, it wasn't the right god that they were worshiping. It was a pagan god. And when it wasn't just a pagan god, they often were mixing religions together. They were mixing the religion of their founding, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the true God, the maker of heaven and earth. They were mixing that God with others, with false gods, and perverting their own religion. And this psalm writer asks, "Where does my help come from? Is it from these pagan gods, Or is it from the one true God? And as he asks the question, we too ask ourselves that same question. Where does my help come from? Because surrounded by us, or surrounding us, are many different high places. Places where we could easily, and far too often do, give our worship and place our trust. The high place, the hill that is in our news most often this time of year and will be until November 8th, is Capitol Hill. A high place, if there ever was one. A place that tries to grab our worship at any given moment. Just look at the political campaign of most politicians ever. What are they trying to sell you? It's hope, isn't it? They're asking you to put their trust in them, to put your faith in their abilities to bring about change and to bring about a new and better way of life. We look at Capitol Hill and we might think, from where does my help come from? And you might say to yourself, well, there's no way I put my faith in Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton or whoever else. There's no way I'd put my faith in either of them. And so maybe you are on the opposite end of things. You don't have hope for either of them. Instead, maybe you're led to despair, which really is the opposite of hope, isn't it? And you might look at them and you might think, oh man, no matter who wins, it's an awful situation. My trust is going to be shattered. I'll have no hope at all. I have no place then to put my faith. From where does our help come from? Who do we place our hope in? On whom do we put our trust and our faith? Far too often, we put it in ourselves. Or if you're not excited about a political candidate, oftentimes we put it in the rights that we believe we should have as a civilian of this nation. We put our hopes in the things that we feel like we deserve, whether it's gun ownership or land ownership or even our citizenship. We often put our hope in those things. And if those things were ever taken from us, it would destroy our faith in something. Oftentimes we put our hope in modern medicine. That if we could just discover this one thing, then I wouldn't have to worry about this thing. Or our hope is put in our money, or even ourselves, our intelligence. And we are often asking the question, because we are surrounded by hills and high places, from where does my help come from? The psalmist answers that question for us. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where is my help to come? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Our help comes from the one who created it all. And as we've been learning in adult Bible study, we've been talking about how God is in control of all things. That is where our help comes from. In Him is where our hope should lie, our trust should lie. The one who holds all things in His power and is even perhaps willing to let some things in life get screwed up a little bit so that we realize that He is the one in whom our hope has to lie. We look to Him and not another. The psalmist tells us and declares to us where our help comes from, in whom our hope should be placed. There is only one hill where our hope comes from, and it's not Capitol Hill. It's on a hill far away, where an old rugged cross lies, where Jesus Christ was slain for lost sinners like you and I. And through Him, we are then made whole, and we are given the Spirit and given this gift, this wonderful gift of faith, faith that can be put in God, who does not be shaken, will not be shaken. And not only that, but He does not let your foot be moved, as the psalmist tells us. He watches over you. He guards you. He keeps His eyes on you. Other gods, other things, other people, they'll fall asleep at some point. But our Lord, as the psalmist says, does not sleep. He does not slumber. He does not rest in His watching over you. He protects you from the dangers, whether they come at day or during the night. And He guards you and protects you from all evil. He preserves you. He watches when you leave from this place until the time when you come back into worship with Him. And He says, and He gives us this promise, that He does this from this time forth, forevermore, throughout your life. The Lord is the one who watches over you. As the election comes closer, and as we are tempted to fall into despair because of lousy candidates, or maybe despair because your candidate didn't win, or maybe eventually despair because, oh man, my candidate did win, we know where our true help comes from. The Maker of heaven and earth, who holds all things in His hands. Let us pray. O gracious and most merciful God, we give You thanks for Your watchfulness over us, that the only hill we need look to for our hope and for faith and for salvation is the hill on which You died for us, bringing us into Your life and into Your salvation. Thank You for watching us, for guarding what You have given us. Keep our feet steady in faith as we travel through life and are met with all sorts of dangers. And Lord, we pray for our nation, asking that You would be with our leaders, those who are currently in office and those who will, that You would move in their hearts and direct them to the Word that is, in fact, breathed out by God. We pray this in Your name.